the Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate. Virtual Tailgate. It's your cue to call.
Looking to go out this week with a winner. Kyle Holder from Gilbert. You are the winner. Kyle Holder from Gilbert. You have 10 minutes to call. 602-260-9870. 602-260-9870. You have won the ultimate virtual tailgate experience. That includes a brand new $700 barbecue grill, custom Arizona Sports cornhole set. You just have to call within 10 minutes. 602-260-9870. If we don't hear from Kyle, we will open it up and about 10 minutes from now and see who did win it. But for now, Kyle Holder, again, you have a few, you have 10 minutes to call. 602-260-9870. And if you have not yet registered to win the grill or the custom cornhole sets, text the word GATE to 620-620, and that's how you can do it. Injury report came out. We welcome you back in, 5 o'clock hour, Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. And the big ones now to worry about are on the defensive front, the front seven, in particular Jordan Phillips and Devon Kennard. Here's Cliff Kingsbury.
Jordan is going to make the trip and kind of a day-to-day deal as of right now, and then Devon doesn't look like he'll be quite ready this week.
Starting to get a little thin up there, Gambo.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan has he's been a decent player for them, right? He's got the two sacks, not a lot of tackles, but you know what his role is to just, you know, kind of push that pocket. And you know, last year he had the nine and a half sacks, and you know, we wanted him to come in here and be a guy that could get some pressure on the quarterback, some hits, some sacks. Remember, it's not all about the sacks. It's also about the hits. It's about the pressure. It's about the hurry. Sure. It's about all those things. He's been good for them. Like, I'm not disappointed in Jordan Phillips so far. I think he could do more, but you know, so far so good with him. Without him, yeah, I mean, these are the guys that you went out and got Vance to try to make his defense work, to make this 3-4 defense work. So if you're without Phillips, you're without Kennard, you got a banged up Buddha who's going to play, we don't know about Banjo, you know, you're not healthy yet. They're not where they want to be health-wise.
No, they're not. And Phillips is questionable. He's got some sort of an illness. There's no specification as to what exactly it is. But obviously it's not COVID. He wouldn't be on the plane with him if it were COVID, so you can rule that out. He's questionable. It's just going to be a matter of whether he's feeling better in time for Sunday's game. Kennard is out. He's out. He will not play. And Chris Banjo, as you mentioned, is questionable. For the Jets, Sam Darnold, of course, we knew he's out. Mekhi Becton is doubtful for this game. Brashad Perryman, the wide receiver, as you like to say, don't pay the Perryman. No one's going to pay him. No one's going to play him. He's doubtful for the game. I suppose he could play, but chances are he's not going to. So
the whole Jets team is doubtful for the game.
That's true. That's a good
point. The whole team is doubtful.
Yeah, the whole team is.
They'll show up.
Yeah, but will they play hard? It's doubtful. It's very, very doubtful for the Jets. Yeah, so injury is going to play a factor on both sides of the ball. But getting Buddha back, that's a big, big deal for the Arizona.
It's the biggest. I mean, this is the guy. I mean, this is the guy that you almost can't do without. He is. I've never seen so much praise heaped on one guy. You know, that's so young for the Arizona Cardinals. They love him. They like everybody loves him. They love playing with him. He doesn't take any plays off. He goes 100% sideline to sideline. We watch film. He never takes a play off. He's the little engine. I mean, Fitz commented on him. Charles Washington commented on him. Patrick Peterson. Everybody just talks about how good this guy is. So, you know, he's the guy. He's the one guy that you don't want to, miss a game with. I mean, we saw last week they missed him. Not saying they would have won that game, but they missed him. Not having him hurt because he's such a dynamic player. So having him back, you know, even with the cast on his hand, he's going to be able to help this team a whole lot.
Yeah, I was scrolling back through my Microsoft Teams to look for it. Here it is, Larry Fitzgerald. Nobody means more to this team than Buddha.
Nobody means more to this football team than Buddha Baker, and you can take that to the bank. I mean, the guy plays the game you know, the right way. He works at it the right way, the way he's wired mentally as a teammate. You know, he's approachable. Anybody can go talk to him. Doesn't matter what your salary is or what your status is on the team. He's humble. He's level-headed. He plays through injury. He plays the game of football like he's 6'4", 280 pounds. The way he flies around and how selfless he is. If he's asked to cover, if he's asked to blitz, if he's asked to do whatever, play different positions, he knows it all. I mean, this guy is you know, the best of the best, you know, as a human being, as a football player, as a teammate, and I love him. I know his teammates all feel the same way about him, and we're very privileged to have him back on the field with us.
That was Fitz yesterday, and then today Steve Keim on with Doug and Wolf. I mean, actually when asked about the return of Buddha this week, it was funny. I laughed when he said it because Steve Keim actually said this morning with Doug and Wolf, yeah, thank God Buddha's back.
Everything. Thank God he's back. When you don't see him out on your field, it just goes to show how valuable he is. And the guy is a human eraser. He makes a ton of tackles. He brings energy. He brings juice. He's physical. He's our leader. He's our leader in our heart and soul on defense. And to not have him in the past week was extremely difficult. I know he's fired up and ready to go. I talked to him at length about it yesterday. So I know he'll bring some much needed juice on our sidelines tomorrow or Monday.
Oh, yeah, you're right, Gambo. I mean, just universal praise from the Cardinals for Buddha.
He's 24.
This kid.
He's 24 years old. This is his fourth year in the league. I mean, he's only played 49 games, hasn't even played 50 games, and he's the leader. Because of, you know, just the way, listen, you're a born leader, okay? It's not that just the guys that have experience could be the leaders. Oh, just because you've been in the league for 8 years, you know your way around. You have some leadership. You could advise younger players. That's a little bit of a leadership role. But it doesn't mean you're a leader just because you've been in the league 7 years or 8 years or 9 years. I mean, ask anybody that's playing. I mean, they've played with plenty of guys that have no leadership capabilities that have been in the league for 10 years. They're just not leaders. Buddha Baker was a leader the second he walked onto the field in 2017. He was a leader right away. People have followed him from his rookie season because of how hard he plays, how much he cares. He's a great teammate. He's a great person. He's a great Cardinal. So this guy from being 21 years old was a leader. Now at 24, highest paid safety in the league, tons of praise. Look, he's coming back. There are probably some players out there with Buddha's injury with the finger and the cast. Some agents would say, you know what? Don't go back. Wait a couple of weeks. I mean, Buddha would now. I can't even imagine his agent trying to tell him, hey, don't play. Because
here's
that's just not
today.
Who he is.
Yeah, here's him today talking about playing with the wrap that he's going to have on his hand, and listen to how just dismissive he is about how many fingers he can actually play with.
It's definitely restrictive being a DB. You know, I like to use my hands, but then again, you know, I got four other fingers. You know, I'm not going to be able to use the thumb because it's going to be in a cast. So with wrapping up, it's just going to be mostly my left hand and then my right fingers without my thumb. So, you know, for me, I did it in Detroit, got used to it. You know, I missed a tackle first play of the game, but got used to it. And now I know how to, you know, tackle without using that right thumb.
Yep, no big whoop. You know, four good fingers on one hand. It'll be fine. Cliff Kingsbury. Yeah, right? I mean, Cliff Kingsbury today specifically talked about the communication defensively and how Buddha will help.
It's huge. I don't think you can put enough of an emphasis on that. You know, last week there was obviously some communication stuff going on with young safeties back there, which happens, and we knew it would. But he definitely brings a calming presence. He's a guy with his athleticism that makes a ton of plays, and that's evident on the film. But his presence when it comes to communication and getting us lined up and making the adjustments is just as valuable.
Yeah, that was very obvious watching that game last week, for sure.
Yeah,
very
I obvious. Mean, there's no question. I mean, to the point where, you know, they were going out there and trying to get Tony Jefferson to come in. They got T.J. Ward to come in, and they were just scrambling to try to get somebody because that's a big loss. I mean, it's a huge loss. You know, and again, we don't know what the difference would have been in the game if he had played last week. We just, you know, we knew he was going to miss the one game, and I just didn't know it would be that much of a struggle. I mean, Curtis Riley ended up getting cut because, like, after that game, and then he got re-signed to the practice squad. But it's a tough spot to play. I mean, that's a tough guy to have to replace, too. You know, yeah. Buddha goes out and you got to replace him. Good luck.
Steve Keim made it known earlier this morning. He's not pleased with some of the Cardinals' biggest stars. What will the general manager, will the general manager get the type of performances he's looking for this week against the Jets? And if not, well, then what? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate. Virtual Tailgate.
Congratulations to Kyle. He called in on time, and he won the spot in the virtual tailgate today. Kyle won a $700 barbecue grill. He won a custom Arizona Sports cornhole set. Kyle Holder also won a spot in the virtual tailgate coming up this weekend. So congrats to him. And again, you can continue to register by texting the word GATE to 620-620. Also, congratulations to Aaron Judge. He just took Nick Anderson deep right as we were going into that commercial break. A 1-0 lead for the New York Yankees in this winner-take-all Game 7 in the American League Divisional Series.
So, 5.
What did I say?
7.
Game 7.
Oh.
Same deal.
Game 5. So, yeah, same deal, but those are the facts I got to get right. Game 5 of the best of 5 American League Divisional Series. Thank you for the correction there. Appreciate that.
You know, the good news for the Astros, just real quick, is like they're not going to face Cole in Game 1. They're not going to face Glasnow in Game 1. Like, you know, because these teams are going to use their best pitchers right now. So Houston will get a little bit of an advantage with whoever they play, whoever wins.
Yeah.
You know, they'll be facing secondary pitchers.
And keep in mind, it's going to be a real challenge for all of these teams in the league championship series because it's 7 consecutive days. There are no off days built into those series coming up next week at all. That is going to put a real strain on pitching staffs just because it's going to be hard without an off day. So something to keep in mind. We'll see what happens with this game. You can hear it on ESPN 620. Steve Keim bringing it strong today on the Doug and Wolf show this morning. Not pleased with his team and in particular disappointed with the high-priced players that he says they're not getting their money's worth out of.
I am very, very disappointed with the way we've played the last 2 weeks. And, you know, it comes down to making plays and executing. And to be quite frank with you, you know, we got a lot of guys making a lot of money, and that's the way you've got to build a roster. You've got to allocate the money in particular spots. And when you see players who are making an absorbent amount of money, those guys have to be productive. And in my opinion, you know, our stars have not played like stars, so to speak.
It's kind of a theme we were talking about a couple days ago, Gambo.
Yeah, without question, right? I mean, this is it. I mean, it's sometimes you simplify things because, you know, we tend to break things down so many different ways. Sometimes it's real simple. Your best player's got to play better, all right? It lifts everybody up, everybody.
Sure.
So I am, you know, listen, if Chandler Jones and Patrick Peterson are playing better, they win some of those games, those last two games. And this isn't a question. Chandler Jones is one of the premier pass rushers in the NFL. He's got 1 sack. He's on pace for 4. It's not good enough. Patrick Peterson, despite all his excuses, has been awful. They're going after him. You know, he's a 7-time Pro Bowl player that, you know, used to be able to, just on his ability, teams wouldn't even challenge him. But now they are challenging him.
Yeah, it's
and
funny.
And I got a message from Keyshawn Johnson on Twitter not too long ago. Huh,
oh, wow, now what? Come
boy,
on.
Boy.
Really? Really? Yep. What did he say?
Just remember Gambo with a picture of him in a Jets uniform.
I mean, why are you screaming?
That was it? Just remember?
Just a picture of
him.
And
a picture of him in a Jets uniform?
Just a picture of him.
Keyshawn Johnson today might be the best Jets player if he were on that roster.
Oh, my God, I know.
he probably would be. that's funny. Well, give Keyshawn my regards since he doesn't tweet at me. He only tweets at me when he wants my money to be included in his little bet. That's the only time I ever hear from Keyshawn, is when he calls me out and questions my level of commitment and then calls me the sidekick and the co-pilot and all that stuff. He never tweets at me normal, just when he's trying to call me out. So I tell him I said hi. Will you do that for me?
Yeah,
please?
I will. Yeah. So he's ready. He's ready for the Jets to win and to lock this bet up.
Well, yeah, we'll concede it right then and there on the spot, right? I mean, it's 7 wins or less, and he wins money, our money, towards the charity of his choice. If they can't beat the New York Jets, it might be time to concede that. Something interesting about what Steve Keim said. Okay, so our best players have to play their best. Our highest-paid players have to play their best. And I would agree, he's obviously talking about Patrick Peterson. He's obviously talking about Chandler Jones. I think you can make an argument that he's talking about Kenyon Drake when he's saying that because he's making $8.5 million. Is it here's a question that I think I know how you're going to respond to it, but is Patrick Peterson still one of the best players on the Arizona Cardinals roster? I know he's one of the highest paid.
No.
But is he still one of the best players on the card? So is it fair to lump him? Is it fair to expect him to be one of the best players on your roster if he is no longer that for the Cardinals?
Look, it's a good question. I'm thinking about it now. Is he one of their best players? Because other guys aren't playing very well, right? Because, like, you know, Chandler Jones is one of their best players, but he's not playing very well. So I think there are several players on that defense, or a few players on that defense, that I would say are better than him. But not, you know, would I take him over Dre Kirkpatrick? Boy, I don't know. That's close. I mean, I think so. I think I would take him over him. He's, you know, Boot is better. I like Hicks better. Chandler should be better, but he struggled. That's a fair question. It's a very fair question. I'm having a hard time giving you an answer because, you know, there are several players on this team that are not playing as well as they should be defensively.
You know, and I guess I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking about it this way for the first time. It's okay, yeah, our best players need to play the best, and they need to step it up, and they need to play better, and they need to earn their keep and earn their money. And I'm just starting to wonder if Patrick really even belongs in that conversation anymore. I know he should be. I know that, you know, yeah, he's on the wrong side of 30. Yeah, he's in the last year of his contract. Yeah, his skills are in decline, but he still should be one of their better players. I just don't know if he is anymore. And I guess part of why I'm thinking this is just that, again, to make this about Buda Baker, but the heaps and heaps of praise that Buda Baker has been given in the last week by the Cardinals. I mean, it's very clear that Buda has, if we're talking about the secondary, it's very clear from their perspective that Buda Baker has now replaced Patrick Peterson as the best player in their secondary. It's not Patrick anymore. It's Buda. He's the indispensable one. He's the irreplaceable one. And maybe we're asking too much out of Patrick Peterson. You know, we're asking him to be something that he no longer is. And that's one of the best players on the Cardinals roster. But I'm just thinking out loud. I don't know the answer to that.
But you have to ask that of him because of what they're paying him. He's not 35 years old. He's 30 years old. You know, and he's getting paid a lot of money. So, yeah, we're going to ask him to be great. And we're going to expect him to be great. I'm not expecting Patrick Peterson to be a bum out there. I'm not expecting him to get beat the way he's been getting beat. I'm not expecting that. Yeah, sure, yeah, he slipped. But figure out a way. Use your brain.
Yeah.
You know, get smart. Be a smarter player out there. You know, I sent something to you the other day.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
There was a mock draft, and it said it had the Cardinals taking a running back. Look, I mean, right now, in all honesty, like if you said what do I think the Cardinals will do with their first round pick next year? I would say cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
I would say corner. I'm not taking a running back in the first round. I'll get one somewhere else. But I would say right now, corner would be more of a priority for me than anything else.
I would at this point, it's so early in the process, I would tend to agree with you, especially when Peterson's going into the walk year of his contract, and Steve Keim named him by name today when talking about players who need to play better and get better. When we come back here on the Burns and Gambo show, there was a big scare this morning, and it was the story that was hanging over this game literally all day long from New York. But after getting that scare this morning, the Jets say their organization is fully negative and ready to go. So is that it? Or are we expecting more issues to pop up before kickoff? We'll talk about it coming up on the Burns and Gambo show.
Be honest.
Sarah Cazell. Okay, I'll be honest.
What's that?
Interest level in the Lakers game tonight against Miami.
Are you asking me or everyone?
Both of you. Everybody. What's the interest level in the Lakers game tonight? Scale of 1 to 10.
For me, it's probably a 7, but I realize I am more basketball, NBA, college basketball heavy than your average sports fan.
Okay. Scale of 1 to 10, I would say I'm sitting pretty firm at about a 3 or a 4.
Okay.
Tonight.
All right.
Sitting at
Jordan?
About a 3 or 4.
I'm a 1.
Yeah, I just the...
Are you a 1-2 game? I mean, you got the Yankees on at the same time, so is it
yeah,
fair
no, I
to
won't
even
like
ask
I
you?
Won't unless this game gets out of hand. Like okay, so when the Yankee game ends, I'll put the game on. I just don't have this great interest to watch the Lakers. I just not a Laker fan. I don't like them. I don't want them to win. This series has been boring. I have watched some of it. It's been boring. I'm just. You know, it's the NBA Finals. You would think we'd be more interested in the NBA Finals, but we're not.
We knew heading into it that it wasn't going to be that competitive of a matchup.
Yes, that's true. That's one of the reasons. It's not very competitive.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have helped if Bam Adebayo hadn't been hurt and Goran Dragic hadn't been hurt.
Sure.
It would have helped the series quite a bit. I gotta get up for the NBA though, I will agree with you wholeheartedly. I don't have much interest in tonight's game, and that's a heck of a plug for the fact that we're carrying it at 6 o'clock here on 98. Hey, listen to a game. Gambo and Jordan give it a 1 here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. So make sure you tune in. Thank you very much.
But you're gonna give it up because they pulled it off. They've been able to pull it off. They got the season and the playoffs through. You're right.
That's right.
I'm gonna give it up to the NBA because they did it. They pulled it off. My God, there were so many challenges to them pulling it off. I mean, so many challenges. And to be honest, there have been some really entertaining moments that came from the bubble. And not just the Suns. I'm mostly thinking about the Suns. But you think about the Nuggets. You think about Damian Lillard. You think about the Clipper. I mean, there's just so much that happened in there. I mean, that series between Boston and Toronto was very, very competitive, very entertaining to watch. I give it up to the NBA, even though it ended with kind of a whimper. For a while there, the bubble action and their ability to pull this off the way they did, they are to be commended for how they did this. It really has been a masterpiece, I think, by Adam Silver. It just hasn't ended very well. It's not very compelling.
Man, think about these teams that, like, they could be going home tomorrow. They've been in that bubble for how long? And they could be going in tomorrow. They could leave the bubble.
95 days, I think. Yep, you can get home. You can get out of there.
Go home.
95 days.
Or go to Magic City, whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly. Or you could do that if you wanted to as well. The Jets released the statements. This evening, we received negative PCR COVID-19 test results for all players, coaches, and personnel following a presumptive positive COVID-19 test. And out of an abundance of caution to ensure everyone's health and safety, we sent all players and personnel home this morning. So from this statement, we are to correctly deduce that the presumptive positive test, the one player who they presumed to be positive this morning, was in fact not, was negative, everybody's negative, and we are a go for launch on Sunday when it comes to the Jets and the Cardinals from MetLife Stadium. Or are we? Are there still any lingering concerns?
Not if it's a false positive.
About the story?
No, I don't think so. I mean, basically, it's a false positive. They posted their statement, and they received negative tests for all the players, coaches, and personnel. Negative tests. So that was a false positive test. So the game's going to go on. The Cardinals are on their way there. They're going to get there. And, you know, it's not like there hasn't been false. Remember, Matthew Stafford had a false positive. The quarterback of the Lions, over the summer, he had a false positive. So the league has had 60 cases since testing began in which a player or a staff member tested positive, and it wasn't any further transmission among the team. So they tested quickly. They did a good job. Like they had a positive test. They tested again. It came back as negative. So they did a good job. It was quick. The Cardinals didn't get stuck having to wait around. I think everybody did a good job with this.
Yeah, it's when this was all breaking this morning, the news came down about, I don't know, 6 o'clock, 6:15 this morning, that this player presumptively positive for the New York Jets had tested positive. And one of the, and I'm looking for it through my screenshots and I can't quite find it, but I can kind of remember it off of memory. One of the tweets that I read this morning said something along the lines of, look, the Jets are very confident that they've been following the protocols, very confident that they've been following the rules and doing what they're supposed to. So they are very confident that this will be an isolated incident, that they feel like this will not be a problem for them. And I thought about that tweet when the Jets released their statement at 4 o'clock, that the Jets were, you know, we've seen some teams kind of get a little squirrely with the rules, right? The Titans come to mind. The Raiders come to mind. There have been some teams where they're not adhering to the rules perhaps the way that they should be, and the NFL is contemplating punishment for those teams. It came out real quick this morning that the Jets do not feel like they're one of those teams, that the Jets felt like they had been really good about following the rules, really secure about what they were doing. And so because of that, I don't think there's anything to worry about. It was a false positive, like you said, and the organization has reportedly done a very good job about this, so I think we're in the clear. I think we're okay. Now, you know, the other two games, I think we're all going to be on pins and needles all weekend. Are there any more positive tests in Tennessee? And are there any more positive tests in New England? Because right now that's kind of the weak link in the chain right now when it comes to the Week 5 schedule and what games are going to be played and what games aren't going to be played.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's the ones we'll keep our eye on, because you wonder what the NFL is going to do when they get to a situation where they can't reschedule, like they just can't move games, like, you know, there is no, like, are you going to really wipe out the entire week before the Super Bowl to accommodate one team so they could get 16 games in? That doesn't seem feasible to me. Like, that doesn't seem like, okay, can't move this team here, this team's bye week doesn't work out. Like, what happens after the bye? Like, what happens after the bye week if you have a situation? And there is no bye week to make up a day. Like, the Steelers said, we'll play 13 straight weeks, no problem. But what happens after the bye week? Because now we got bye weeks coming up here. Everybody's going to be, you know, teams are starting out going their byes. Now now the only way you make up a game is if you play after the season's over. But then you lose that week between the championship game and the Super Bowl. Do you really want to give that up to accommodate one or two teams?
Right. That's a great question. I don't know the answer to it, but I would think that'd be a possibility. I think another possibility would be something that Schefter mentioned yesterday on Get Up, in which he said, look, there's a very real chance that the NFL will decide its playoff spots based off of win percentage and not wins, with the idea that there are going to be some teams that just don't play all of their games. And quite frankly, they'd be taking their cue from the NBA and Major League Baseball in that regard, right? I mean, there was the NBA, they didn't all play the same number of games. Major League Baseball, they didn't all play the same number of games. They got close, okay, but it wasn't exact. And at the end of the day, it became a win percentage issue. It seems like in the NFL, because they play so few games, that they really should strive to make sure they all play the same number. But look, if there's anything that 2020 has taught us, you got to be flexible. You got to be willing to pivot. You got to be willing to adapt. You got to be willing to take whatever your plans were and change them. Because, man, every business, every league, every person has had to do that all 2020 long, and the NFL is no different. I mean, they'll just have to figure out a way, and not everyone's going to like it. You know, I'm sure the Buffalo Bills right now are thinking they're getting hosed in this whole deal. I'm sure the Buffalo Bills are you know, because now they're playing on a Tuesday, assuming no more positives in Tennessee. Now they're playing on a Tuesday and then again on a Sunday in one of the most important games the AFC is going to have all year long, when the Bills take on the Chiefs. Well, the Chiefs are going to have the benefit of a full week's preparation under normal circumstances for that game. The Bills aren't. The Bills are getting screwed in that regard. It's like you're playing a game on Thursday night, and the team that you're playing on Thursday night has had a full week to prepare for that game, and you've only had 4 days. It's not fair, but there's nothing you can do about it. It's 2020. Nothing's fair in 2020, and that's life.
Yeah, so that game Sunday, that gets moved to Tuesday as long as there's no more positive tests.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And then the Bills-Chiefs game gets switched from next Thursday to Sunday, but then it goes back. Like, yeah, then it's just, yeah, I totally get what you're saying. And that's why, like, you try to get 16 games in, but you don't want to screw anybody. And especially, and what I was saying is, like, towards the end of the season, more importantly, you don't want to mess anything up. Like, sure. I think you go by win percentage. And it is what it is. It doesn't, you know, maybe it's not fair this year. But I don't think you take a team that, you know, that plays in the, you know, that finishes their season. They got some injuries and they get a bye week and they're looking forward to that week off that now they got to play because something happened. That's all I'm saying is I think you could really end up screwing some of these teams if they end up having to play after the season is over.
The Yankees, the Rays, they're battling now with the winner advancing to take on the Astros. And no matter who wins tonight, they're already behind the eight ball for the next series. And we'll explain why next on the Burns and Gambo Show. All right, welcome back. Friday edition, Burns and Gambo Show. And the one lone divisional series to go to a deciding game five, and they are on the top of the fifth of this game five, and it's the Yankees with a 1-0 lead over the Tampa Bay Rays here. A solo home run by Aaron Judge off of Rays reliever Nick Anderson. Tyler Glasnow didn't last very long in this game. Wasn't expected to, frankly, given that he just started game two and was operating on very short rest. Judge hits the home run off of Nick Anderson, and it's 1-0 in the top of the fifth. The winner of this winner-take-all Game 5 will advance to the American League Championship Series. They'll take on the Houston Astros starting on Sunday. But as you pointed out, Gambo, whoever wins this game goes into that series against Houston with a little bit of a disadvantage, maybe even a big disadvantage, depending on your perspective, because you're going to burn through your pitching staff to win this game for a series that starts in 48 hours against the Houston Astros. That's tough.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's no question about it because, you know, both of these teams are going to, you know, they're going to go through every, I mean, even the Yankees. Like, they'll, you know, I don't know how far Cole can go. He hasn't given up a run yet. When he gets into the trouble, you know, they'll go to that bullpen. I mean, Chapman pitched yesterday. Green pitched yesterday. Zach Britton pitched yesterday. And they'll ask all those guys to pitch again today, you know. And then, you know, then you get one day off and then you got to go play. So, whichever team wins, and the Rays are in a good spot here now, too. The Yankees were not able to, you know, the home run was a solo home run. You know, they always say solo home runs don't really beat you. It's the three-run shots that do. So the Rays are in a good spot right now. They just got to hang around. It's at the bottom of the fifth inning right now, and it's a one-run baseball game. And it's going to come down, very likely it will come down to the bullpens of both teams.
Yeah. The thing that makes it especially challenging is, and we've mentioned this a couple times, but I'll bring it up again, the ALCS, the NLCS are being played without any off days. They're doing it straight, and that's unusual, and that does not give managers a day to kind of hit the reset button and know that you've got an off day to build that in with your relievers. So it's going to add an extra wrinkle to all of this. That's going to make it especially challenging. And now I think some of this evens out a little bit in that the Astros pitching staff isn't that great. I mean, Zach Greinke labored through his outing yesterday. And with no Gerrit Cole, with no Justin Verlander, you sent me the story. And I actually saw it yesterday as it happened. Zach Greinke actually held up two fingers to his catcher right before he threw a curveball to Ramon Laureano that he deposited for a three-run home run. It's almost like he told Laureano what he was throwing right before he threw it, and Laureano hit the pitch like 400 feet. I'm not sure what Greinke was doing there, but it was the Astros do not have a very deep pitching staff at all. So any disadvantage the Rays and the Yankees have at the beginning, it might balance out at the end because the Astros don't have much.
Yeah, and then it goes to seven games instead of five. So,
right.
You know, Tampa Bay has really good pitching. They do. The Yankees have one guy. Okay, they got Cole. Montgomery gave him four good innings yesterday, but they don't really have much after Cole. Tanaka has not been good. But the Rays have good pitching.
Yes.
So, like, they'd be in a great spot. If they win, they're in a great spot because, you know, look, Glasnow started today, went a few innings. He's not going to pitch in game one or game two, but he can pitch in game three, and then he can pitch in game seven if you get to a game seven, you know, against the Astros. So that's what you hope for, a long series where you can get your best pitcher, you know, and they'll have Snell. Like, if they don't use Snell today, Snell could start game one against the Astros, and he started game one against the Yankees. He's a frontline pitcher.
Yeah. You see anybody beating the Dodgers at this point?
No, I mean, it's the way that they've played, it's hard. It's really hard to look at that team and say somebody's going to be. They're scoring runs. They've got great pitching. You know, you mentioned it. The only issue they have is Kenley Jansen, but they'll have Kelly close if Jansen can't get the job done because he's got nothing on his fastball. I mean, he's throwing the ball, you know, 90 miles an hour. So with no, you know, he's got no velocity. It's up to 93, 94. That's the only real weakness, right? They're all they're hitting. They've got speed. They play great defense. Their starting pitching has been great. Their bullpen's been great. That Julio Urias came in yesterday, pitched five great innings. You know, they haven't hit home runs. No. I mean, they hit one home run in that series, one. So it's not like they're mashing, but they string together. It's when you watched them, they have those innings where they string together five hits and they score three or four runs. They're just good.
It was amazing last night. They had a five-run third inning that kind of put that thing out of reach. And
that's what they do.
Lead early. Yeah, there were no extra base hits in that five-run third inning. Not one. Not one single extra base hit. That's what they do. And it's just one guy after another, after another, after another. And it just seems like ever since they added Mookie Betts to that lineup that there's just such an incredible amount of depth there where there's just so many guys that can beat you in so many ways. I hope, you know, that this will be that the Atlanta Braves will find a way to do to the Dodgers what every team seems to do to the Dodgers around October and just find a way to trip them up. And I do think Atlanta's lineup,
they're good,
is capable of, I mean, they're really, really good. I don't know if their pitching staff is capable of it, but I think their lineup certainly is capable of it. So I hope, but I feel like we are steamrolling our way towards a Dodgers, and I hope not an Astros World Series. I hope it's a Dodgers-Rays World Series because I just can't stand the thought of the Astros being in there. Can't stand it.
Yeah.
All right, time for the...
So the Astros are the first team you want out. You just want the Astros out more than anybody.
That is exactly it. It's time for the Coors Light. What's on tonight? The games we're going to watch this evening. Brought to you by Coors Light. Sports is back. Head to Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers for draft specials. Watch your team today. We've got the Yankees and the Rays, 1-0 in the bottom of the fifth. And, of course, we've got Game 5 of the NBA Finals, the Heat and the Lakers. The Lakers, with a win, will win the NBA championship tonight, and that is what we're going to be watching tonight, brought to you by Coors Light. Then, of course, over the weekend, college football, the Cardinals on Sunday morning, and a lot to talk about on Monday when we reconvene here on the Burns and Gambo show. So we look forward to talking to you then. We've got NBA basketball coming up next, the Lakers and the Heat. We will join that game here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. In the meantime, have a great weekend. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll talk to you Monday at 2 o'clock.
Have a great night, everyone. Good night to you.